idea of what kinds of events you can participate in. And again, there are so many, and we've only just barely touched the surface of the kinds of things that you can get involved with. We thought we would do two more little segments for this. The first one is tips for running events. And then after that, we're going to talk about tips for participating events. So first up, tips for running events.
The very first thing, and the when we first started talking about this discussion, the thing that came out of my mouth the fastest is know or choose carefully who you're working with. If you are joining a mod team in progress, you got to find out who else is on that team and honestly get to know them a little bit. If you don't already, stalk their socials, have a chat, figure out kind of what the culture of that team is. Read event docs from the past, get an idea of what their working style is like. Running an event is a team project, or at least honestly it should be, if it's a team event. There are clearly events that are solo ventures, but especially bangs and exchanges and things that require a lot of more coordination are team projects. And if you can't get along with the rest of the team, or your fundamental beliefs about what the event should be don't jive with someone else's, you're not going to have a good time. And we are not here to create more needs for everyone to chew on acids. You know what I'm saying? So like, only do something that's going to bring joy. If you're building a mod team for your own event, consider carefully who you're going to bring on. Enthusiasm is great, and people you love and who love you is also wonderful, but sometimes really good friends are not really good coworkers. And you've got to make sure that you're going to have enough mod hours and enough mod skills to get everything done, which leads us to tip number two.
Two is ask for help and get help that has the specific skills you need. So don't try to do this alone. I know that there are some events that can be run alone, but at the end of the day, events are hard work, even small ones, and you can't always predict what's going to happen. So if life happens to you and you need to step away for a while, if you've got no one to fall back on, then the event's just going to fall apart. And once an event has a reputation for not happening or not happening fast enough or anything like that, it's pretty hard to come back from that. So step one, I say, bring other people on, make it a team project, don't do it alone. The most useful skills for event modding are social media. So that would be making posts, building a social media brand, and knowing the culture of the various spaces on social media. The posts that you make on Tumblr are going to be really different from the posts you make on Twitter. So if you're someone that's embedded in those cultures and you know what's going to be popular, what flies, what grabs people's attention, that's a great skill. Next up, we have spreadsheets. The more complicated...
One true love.
Yes, my true love. I adore spreadsheets. Coding spreadsheets is how I self-soothe. The more complicated and hands-on the event is, the more complicated a spreadsheeting system you'll need. For instance, an exchange probably only needs one or two fairly simple spreadsheets. The exchanges I've run have generally just needed matching and to keep track of who's submitted. In some of those, we've managed to put everything into one spreadsheet. Then something like MTH, which is a charity auction, which we didn't really talk about. It needs something like, I don't know, maybe 40 spreadsheets, and some have formulas so long they don't actually fit on the page, and we have to formulate them in other documents and then copy them in. So if you're good with spreadsheets, there are people who need you. Next is AO3, and I don't mean just posting fix. AO3 has a powerful but slightly complex challenges system and deep knowledge of how the two types of challenges work, how to set up collections, how anons, reveals, and matching work are all really valuable skills. AO3 has a fabulous FAQ that makes all this very easy to learn. So if you want to be somebody who's a go-to for AO3 systems, hop on that FAQ and just start reading. It's straightforward and it's easy, but there's a lot. So the more that you have learned and the more you've played with it and tried it out, the easier it'll be to turn that into a successful event. We've also got Discord server modding. Most events these days have a Discord server or have an associated Discord server that they are run in part of. Managing people in real time is challenging, but it's super fun. And a lot of event teams find that it's easiest to split people up into roles so that managing the Discord can actually be an entire mod role on its own, especially if there are a lot of participants or any complexities that lead to a lot of questions and handholding. So if the signups are a little tricky, maybe you need people to tag a certain way and it gets kind of complicated, or if posting at the end has some extra steps, then you might need Discord server mods that are mostly just there to answer people's questions.
And this is a good time to say that there will always be questions. You cannot create a FAQ document that will answer everyone's questions because people read information differently.
Yeah.
We're going to get into this a little bit more right now, but like if you're listening in a couple minutes, but if you're listening, you're like, well, my stuff's going to be really straightforward. I don't need a server mod to answer questions. Sweet summer child, you are incorrect. You do.
There will always, always be questions. Some people, there's so many different ways to engage with an event and so many different backgrounds people can be coming from that you have to expect questions. So set up yourself for that. The last skill is graphics design and creation. Most events want to look polished and professional, and there's a lot of places where branding can make a difference. There's banners and icons on AO3 accounts. All the social medias have places for banners and icons. Every post can have an image in it. So if you can throw together a logo or a banner, you will be valued. You don't have to know anything as complicated as Photoshop, and you don't have to get things you need to pay for. Canva is an easy to use online graphics building app that's very easy to use, has a lot of stock photos, so that's a good place to start. If you want to use a more powerful Photoshop-like product that doesn't cost money, you can try GIMP. That's the one that I use, and we'll put some show notes for those kinds of resources in this episode as well.
Yeah, all of our graphics were made on GIMP because that's what Co uses. And Canva, though, also has a logo making feature. So if any, you know, you want to run an event and you know you need and you want slick looking graphics, but you're perhaps like me and you are afraid of Photoshop, which like legitimately I have some sort of phobia. Canva has your back, so don't worry about it. I use it for offline professional life, and I also used it to design the logo for the old MHEA event I used to run. So there's lots of options there. But you, if you've seen any of Podcast branding, you are familiar with the work that GIMP makes possible.
Canva also is great for mood boards. If you want to start making mood boards, you can try out that as well.
Yeah, they have whole, that's all the only place I've ever made my mood boards is Canva.
So basically make sure that the team that you build has the skills you need. If you evaluate what the event is going to need and you know you need somebody who's good at spreadsheets but you don't know how to use spreadsheets, then I would recommend either doing the research to learn how to do that or making sure that one of the people you bring on has that skill. If the team that you already have established doesn't, you need to advertise for mod help for the specific skills that you need. There's nothing wrong with putting out a mod call post that has, we need someone who has XYZ. We need someone who can make graphics, someone who can do spreadsheets. That is normal and a wonderful way to make it clear what you're looking for. If you want to improve your event modding skills or you want to help out with other events but you're not sure how, learning one or more of these things will be a huge boon. All of these skills are things one can learn through research and practice, all for free, and we will post more resources, not just for graphics design, in the show notes. Also, mod search posts are great. I highly recommend them. If you're looking to build a team, you can take applications and then evaluate what people are bringing to the table before you choose people. If you keep them anonymous and you just collect applications, then you also don't have to soothe feelings necessarily for people who aren't chosen because no one needs to know how many applications you've got. So you can make those choices based on who you'd like to work with or who has the skills you need. But keep in mind that mod search posts need to be seen for people to sign up. And if your event is quite new or you have a fairly small social media following, you should use resources like Marvel Event Central, who will reblog that for you, and ask signal boosters in your fandom or ship or characters or what have you to give you a boost so you can get your event seen.
And if you're on Discord, there's a new server that's growing for Marvel collabs of all kinds. And that would absolutely be a good place to poke around and see who's got skills like this too. This is a collab of a different kind, but that would be a good place to make new friends and figure out who could be a good team.
Absolutely.
So step number three on our list of five things to keep in mind is think ahead. Friends and neighbors. There is a lot to be said for winging your way through life. And perhaps that's how you like to live. Your friendly neighborhood podcast hosts can't. So if you are somebody who loves flying by the seat of your pants, maybe skip ahead, but we would actually encourage you to consider our way of living.
At least for events.
At least for events. We think you need to think through your systems from start to finish before you post anything. It can be super exciting to come up with an idea and just want to dive in head first, perhaps like starting a new podcast. And I'm going to call us out. Like this thing, like we just
we
made it
work. Ahead. No, we did plan ahead. We just did it really fast.
Yeah, that's totally true.
If you can plan ahead in an hour, then all the power to you, you're ready to go. But you know, there's a process.
Yeah. And we were very careful about being very public with information before we had decisions. So I just like to make fun of us because I'm still amazed that we did it.
Yeah. I mean, it's valid to mock us. That is allowed.
Yeah. It can, like we said, it can be super exciting to come up with an idea and just want to dive in, but you really need to make sure you have a plan for every step of the way before you get started. So you need to build your team. You need to consider how signups will work. You need to fundamentally decide what kind of event you're running, obviously, before you even get there. And I'll say this too, there's a real culture issue of events, like deciding you just want to run an exchange could be really fun. But I think a better question to ask yourself is kind of, what do you want to accomplish with this? Do you want to create more works for your fandom because you really, really love a ship that is a bit more of a canoe? Or do you want to create an exchange so that people can get to know each other a little bit more and get the writing and gifts of their dreams? Like, why do you want to do this event? Because the why of an event is going to help you decide the hows in a certain way. So that will help you also decide what kind of platforms need to be used, how to handle things like matching or date claims or submissions or communications. Dates are a real thing with events and you need to think of them carefully. Figure out what other events are going on at the same time because there are some that are sacrosanct within fandom. For instance, if you're running a Big Bang and you expect Stony shippers to be a part of it, running it at the same time as the Cap IM Big Bang is not going to be a great idea. Also think about your personal life and the lives of the other mods. You may certainly be free right now, but events go on for a long time and their work every single step of the way, including after the event has ended. So a lot of workloads are front and back ended with a lighter middle period, but still consider that kind of stuff, especially in, let's just say it, in these times where a lot of things are in flux. And people aren't really sure what's going on, understanding dates and the calendar and the fandom calendars would be really important. So will there be any worldwide events or holidays or releases of a new canon that might interfere? For instance, eventually we're going to get Black Widow. If you're running a Nat week, you probably need to figure out where you want that movie to fall. And how much time do creators need to create? Consider that people need enough time to not feel panicked, but not so much time that they forget about it. And if you're not sure, look at other events that use a similar structure and consider how long they take. This is a really great time too to ask people for opinions. I write super fast compared to other people and so does Ferret. And when I've run events in the past, I have forgotten that it is not necessarily normal for people to write 1 to 1.5K a day. And if I create an event where you have to do that in order to participate in the event, then that is my fault for not creating an event where everybody can participate. So asking around, seeing what average speed is and things like that might also help if you don't know how to judge it from the events that already run. Too many events fall apart halfway through because the system wasn't in place and support to get later stages. So like somebody gets really excited and makes a Tumblr post, but they can't actually get anything off the ground and don't know who to turn to for help. And this is another one of those times in which asking for or knowing other people in fandom that have been here before you and have already made these mistakes. Hi, our names are Flame and Ferret. We would, you know, love to help you. For instance, Ferret even has a pretty well-structured outline.
Yeah, I have had to do event proposals where I wanted to run events on Discord servers and I had to write a proposal and submit it to the mods so that they knew what I was going to run, and then I ran the event through that. So I've built a bit of an outline that lets me build an event proposal quickly, but The other benefit of providing me with a proposal that I can send to the mods that are clear is that it lets me figure out what questions I have not yet answered about an event. So it structures things in such a way that you have to get some of those questions answered and some of the structures in place and the systems put down. And one of the most important things, even if you don't, and I will put a link in the show notes to a version of that for you guys to use if you want to. But I would also say that one of the most important parts of the outline, even if you don't use anything else from it, I recommend you really think about this, is a section called moderator obligations. And the idea for that is to think through the whole event from start to finish and write down everything that the mods will be responsible for doing throughout the event from start to finish and after it's over to close it. And by writing it all out like that, it will give you an idea of how much mod work this is going to be, what kind of skills your moderators need to have, how many moderators you need to have, how many hours it's going to take each of them, if this is a front-loaded, back-loaded, or even kind of workload, all that kind of stuff. So I highly recommend that you give those things some thought when you're planning out these systems. And our next piece of advice is be clear. Write out your rules in advance and have several people read them over before you post. Ideally, several people from different backgrounds than your own, either culturally or language-wise or from different fandoms or ships. Whatever it is, get a little variety in there because everyone's going to read them a little bit differently and you're going to want feedback that lets you make them as clear as possible to as many people as possible. It is totally fine to not allow things in your event, but keep in mind that every restriction that you put in place does exclude people. So consider what line you want to draw between the boundaries you want your event to fall within and those exclusions. It can help to fill your mod team with people who like different types of fanworks from each other. So if there's something maybe you personally are uncomfortable reviewing, if the style of event requires mod review, which many of them do, someone else on the team might be okay with it, and you can split up approvals so that different people are reading the things that suit them, and so that anybody who's uncomfortable with something doesn't have to read that content. But as I said, you are also able to make that a rule of your event, but whatever the rules are, you have to make them clear. They have to be clear up front. Don't use euphemisms, beat around the bush, or use vague phrases like problematic ships or dark fix. Keep in mind that not only will everyone have slightly different definitions of these things, but many participants may have other primary languages or simply different cultures, and idioms may not land the same way. If there are things you don't allow, be really clear and use examples. I don't mean of other people's specific works, but of the kinds of specific topics, themes, tropes, or plot lines that aren't allowed. People need to have that information so that they can make the choices about whether they want to participate in the event or not. And the very last thing that you want is somebody misunderstanding the rules, spending a lot of time creating something that, especially if it's for an exchange or a bang or something like that, only to find out near the end that what they made does not adhere to the rules and won't be included. So make your rules whatever you want, but make them very, very clear.
The final one is one that may seem a little, it's not tactical, it's more emotional, but we think it's really important and we'd like to end on it. We would really encourage you to not run events just to become popular in your fandom. Oh, in our opinion, good mods are invisible. An event should run smooth and cohesive and have a singular clear voice when it comes to rules and values, and that is hard to accomplish. If you've done an event well, a lot of people will not even have any idea that you are involved. They will think positively about the event and not necessarily about any individuals behind the scenes. And that's not saying you shouldn't get credit or affection for your work. Guys, it's really, really great to look at the end of an event and have somebody say, "My God, I really had fun here," and know that you were part of creating that. It's an incredible feeling, absolutely. But also, events are so much work and they're taxing and they can get frustrating. And even if you have a really good team, you can end up hating them at different points in time because welcome to humans. And if your goal is to bring attention to your creation or to become like the queen of that or king or regent of that fandom, there are better ways to do it than running events. If you are focused on, and I'm using the you here in the general second person, I promise this isn't directed at anybody in particular. But if you're running an event entirely to kind of pad your own ego. The event is going to become a lot about your tastes and not necessarily about what serves the fandom. And this goes back to what I said earlier about figuring out why you want to do what you're going to do. If you want more recognition for your work, I know there are people that talk about branding and they, you know, are really consistent and they want to promote their works and all those kind of things. And then there are some of us that are a little bit more organic with it. No matter where you fall on that spectrum, running an event and asking other people to join in your vision is probably more work, less bang for your buck, as it were. To bring more works into the world that fit the ship or the theme or the universe that you love, and to encourage participation, affection, and connection in our little world should be the goal of every event. And the most successful ones, and the ones that keep people, that people kind of build their fandom schedules around, are the ones that foster that. For instance, Marvel Trumps Hate is one of the things you hear referenced constantly throughout the year, even when that auction is not happening. It's the thing that when we use the abbreviations in servers, the most people ask exactly what that is. And one of those reasons I truly believe is because the entire thing is fandom focused and focused outwardly and not on our own anything. Most of us who actually put up auctions are absolutely petrified that no one will bid on us, even though Fair and the rest of the mods remind us every year that nobody doesn't get bid on. But it's so outwardly and pro fandom focused that it just really generates wonderful community around it in a way that some other smaller events don't. And because, not necessarily just because of the size, but again, because of the focus. So we would encourage you to be intentional regarding your particular motives, and honest with yourself, because this could be a fairly painful internal conversation about your role in this process.